afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host today, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Thursday, October 4th, 2018. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon. How is Miss Melody today?
Oh, it's a beautiful day here on the eastern shore of Maryland, and seems like summer just continues as we were talking about it. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Is it global warming?
No, it's man-made weather. We know that.
Yeah.
By the way, last night's program,
true.
We discussed that on the air with the chemtrails and how they actually literally are controlling weather with chemtrails. They truly are. And it is making more heat be retained on this earth. So I guess you call it global warming, but it's not because of cows passing gas, though.
No. And I also believe, too, that, I mean, this is, I believe, in heat islands. Heat islands is like your big cities with all this, all this cement
asphalt
and everything.
Yes, asphalt.
The heat rises. And I think it does affect the jet streams because heat's pretty powerful, I think. And the jet streams, certain jet streams aren't all that high. So, and if you follow the jet streams, you'll see that it goes around these cities anymore.
There's Melody's scientific evaluation of the whole thing.
Yes.
There you go. Now we all know.
There you go. Now we all know.
And we all go back to sleep now.
Nope, because we're going to talk about
yet?
Gold today.
Okay, all right.
Can't go back to sleep yet. We have gold up $2 today. It was higher. The high of the day was 1206, closer to 1207, but they did pare it back. We're still holding that 1200 level, and it was up $2. Silver, I keep losing my screen today. I don't know why. The silver was down 6 cents at $14.66. We had a high of 1484. Platinum is 828, down a dollar. Palladium, 1,063, down 3. The USDX today was down 0.32 at 95.73. Crude oil was down another 1.91 at 74.50. Now, the paper markets today, the Dow has fallen the most in 2 months. And, of course, this is pretty much based on the fears of the rising rates. We'll talk about the 10-year yield. Let me go ahead and get to that screen. And the Dow was down 200 points at 26,627. Earlier in the day, it was down a little more than 1.5% over 300 points. So the plunge protection team did bring it back a little bit, but we're still down 200 points at 26,627, down 0.75%. Not so bad there. However, the NASDAQ was down almost 2%, down 145 points. Earlier today, I saw it closer down 200 points at 7,879. The S&P was down 23 points at 2,901. Now, this is what all the noise is about, the 10-year yield, 3.20%. That's been a huge gain in that 10-year yield in the past couple days. And this is why the market was down. And as we know, your mortgages are tied to this rate. And plus our debt becomes more expensive as rates rise. So, man, it popped. And it's been staying strong above 3%. There's a lot of people out there that say once it gets to 3.25%, this is when you'll see a lot of unwinding being done. The euro was stronger today, and we often talk about the fear and greed index. It's been around, the 49, 46. Well, that dropped today, 38. It's in the fear level. And other than the 10-year yield, there really wasn't that much out there to put any fear into people. So if that is the one indicator that has moved the numbers as much as it has, I find that interesting. I find that very interesting. So,
well, do you think there's more behind the scenes? You say if that's the one indicator, do you think there's more back here? We're not hearing about it?
I mean, everybody's waiting to see what the job gains were for tomorrow, for the month of September. And, so I don't know, maybe, who knows? I mean, yeah, there's a lot of things behind the scenes that are going on that people aren't being told about. You know, people don't understand that this is a great bubble. We're warned day in and day out. We've been talking about it for, for how long? And
well, the IMF is waiting on now. The IMF is actually saying we could be in for a hard hit, worse than 2018.
Absolutely.
That's coming from IMF. That's not a small player.
You mean 2008?
Right. Pardon? Yeah, 2008. That's right. Yeah, I'm sorry.
In 2008.
Wrong year.
Right, yeah.
But 10 years ago, yeah. I'm trying to find the article now, but I thought it was kind of telling that whenever they get concerned, gosh, I mean, they got their hand. Actually, they control the world money system. So maybe I should tell us something. It was time to get a little nervous ourselves, because whenever that. They start saying something's going to be much worse because of the debt. And, of course, they said the debt. So I called it world debt. That's something very serious, Melody. So we'll see. But you've been telling this for years, and we can ignore it if we want to. But now the big guys are coming out and saying, hey, this is going on. Here it is. World economy at risk of another financial crash, IMF warns. The world economy is at risk of another financial meltdown following the failure of governments and regulators to push through all the reforms needed to protect the system from reckless behavior. With global debt levels well above those at the time of the last crash, 2008, the risk remains that unregulated parts of the financial system could trigger a global panic, the Washington-based leader of the last resort said. That's pretty powerful.
Wait. Yeah, it is. It's very powerful. And again, you have the housing markets. So the housing rates are tied to the 10-year. So, it's good. And we've already had pressure in the housing market. You have other different types of loans that are tied to these rates for individuals and businesses that are pegged to the 10-year treasury. And if it climbs to 3.5%, they're predicting that it's going to be there by the end of the year. At the 30-year could hit 4%, and I hear all the time, well, it was no big deal when it was 5%, 7%, 8%, people just bellied up, and yes, but we didn't have how many years, 10 years of basically free money, and that's the problem. So it wasn't that people, got them out of their problems by working hard. They did it by debt. Now that debt is going to be more expensive. Your credit cards, you name it. So,
well, was the IMF involved in 2008 warning people too, or that was, or this something new here?
The IMF will usually come out and do their, they'll usually talk about a lower GDP for the United States and around the world. And, they've been a little bit negative for the past, well, probably since Trump's been in there, they've been a little bit negative. But,
2008, though, did it come out and warn, give us a warning in 2008?
I don't remember that far back. Yeah, I couldn't tell you. I mean, there was, very few warnings back in 2008. Highly unlikely, but, we'll stay tuned. We'll see what the job report is tomorrow.
We will.
And, the ADP came out yesterday and said there were 230,000 jobs created for the month of September. ADP is usually wrong. They usually fall somewhere in the middle. So, government will either come out with probably, 250 or 260. That's what I'm, or if it's lower, then the markets will probably be much lower tomorrow. So they have to come out and show a strong number, or you're going to see another, 300, 400, 500 point drop tomorrow. So we'll have to wait and see, because we're certainly.
A lot of things can happen tomorrow.
Yeah. We're not privy to that. I mean, we're not privy to that information.
No,
so.
No. Who are we? I'm talking about American economy. Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to, I saw a headline too. We talk about bubbles. We talk about the economies, and it's all these bubbles that have been created, just not here, but globally. And you have to look at your pensions. And the statement was, pensions now depend on bubbles never popping. So, and that's how the whole world is existing. We're existing that nothing goes wrong, that everything is going to be just as it is today. And I think everybody knows, if you're over, you know, 20, you should, or even younger, you know that things just don't go on, that we're really not living in this land of lollipops and candy. Things go bad. Things go wrong. Things are misjudged. And bubbles pop. Bubbles pop.
Yes.
But the world is living that
they do
on
pop.
The. Yep. So, kind of interesting.
It's the whole world. It's not just U.S. It's the whole world is in that bubble. When it pops, it's going to affect everyone in this world, Melody. And
yes.
It's going to affect us big time. We have about the furthest to fall, don't we?
Considering our standard of living, and it's never happened as before, yes, we do.
Yes, yes. And different issue or different topic, but I think we need may just mention this a little bit here. You've been watching news, I guess people have too, on Indonesia, and the 7.2 earthquake took place down there a few days ago. And 1,400 people they know of dead, probably more coming up. And now they have more problems with a volcano erupting now on the island, and it's getting pretty serious. People are already displaced, no food, no water, no power, no nothing. And it says that their supplies are trickling in. And I guess that'd be a kind of a nightmare trying to land airplanes where there's no more airstrips, and take them out on roads with no more roads. But Melanie, so far, even we have escaped anything of this type of devastation. Now, of course, Indonesia is a group of islands. We know that. They're not big as the U.S. But can you imagine something on the same scale happened to this country that happened there, per capita, so to speak, in this country? What would that mean? About a third of the country more or less wiped out? And we looked at it and said it can't happen, but it is happening, is it not, around the world?
It is. And but the strongest...
A 7.2 earthquake is a huge earthquake.
Mm-hmm. But everyone believes that it can't happen to us. It can't happen here. We're immune to everything.
I think we're going to be surprised, because California is definitely in that ring of fire, they call it. Indonesia is also in the Pacific. That ring of fire. It can happen very, very easily in California. Along the West Coast, we know there's a big fault line coming right up through the middle of the country, up through Missouri, and through this way. We know before in history that the Mississippi River even ran backward for a while because of an earthquake. So why do we think we're not going to see it again? I don't get it. I mean, how can we be so arrogant and so confident that nothing bad can happen to us? I just don't understand that. I really don't. That just doesn't ring a bell to me that anybody can be that stupid. That's like you being healthy today and find out next year you have cancer. Yeah, it can happen. It does happen. So we try to ignore it. We should take care of ourselves, but we're not doing a good job taking care of ourselves in this nation, but in a lot of different directions, so it's going to happen here sooner or later. But Indonesia is seriously struggling. Man, those people didn't have much to start with. Now they're down to nothing. So I think that's worth mentioning, just the fact that these people truly are suffering because of that. They are in Haiti and other places. You know, same ideas.
And I haven't really heard much about any type of aid that is going to them.
No.
From anywhere. You certainly, I remember Haiti. Oh, my gosh, there was all kinds of movements and concerts and, you know, foundations that were created,
The Clinton Foundation
Haiti.
Got rich off of it.
Yep. But this time you don't hear anyone
made millions of dollars.
Calling. And this time with the, you just don't hear that much aid to people going out. Well, look at Japan. Japan, of course, Japan is a wealthier nation. They had that typhoon a month ago, destroyed, lost lives. You didn't hear anything about that in the news. The news is consumed with Trump. And that's all we hear about.
I'm getting about Kavanaugh all day, too. But yeah, Kavanaugh, of course, the FBI found nothing out of place with him in the past. And whether, again, I say that we said this many times, whether again or not, whether he did or not, 40 years or whatever it is, 36 years later, it's too late to bring it up. Shut up. Maybe he did do it, but we all have made dumb mistakes when we're young. But that's too late to bring it up. It's too late. But apparently the FBI didn't find any credibility in any of this. So tomorrow they're voting for the, you know, the first vote, I guess you'd say, at the Senate to approve his nomination. And we'll wrap it up on Saturday. But it's bad there that they've had increased security at the Capitol. And Susan Collins, a Republican from Maine, had to have a police escort through the Capitol hallways. Now, if he is confirmed, which I'm pretty sure it's going to be, what will happen to these, I hate to use the word left, but that's the only thing they say, these left liberals who don't want to see this. I don't like Kavanaugh myself personally for different reasons, but that's beside the point.
I agree.
If he is confirmed, what could happen when this hits the fan?
I don't know.
Your opinion.
I agree with you. I don't think people really understand his past. And I don't mean his past drinking as a teenager. And I do believe he's one of the elites. And he wasn't on the list,
the initial list.
He served under Bush.
Yes.
He was involved in the Patriot Act. I've been reading some other things. And even if you take about half of the information that you find out about him, that, you know, maybe half of it's not true, but, you know, maybe half of it is true. He's not the best one to be there just because Trump nominated him.
That's very true. And he also worked with the Clintons.
Yes. In fact, I was reading, was it Ambrose Pritchard? He's probably an elitist, a globalist to some degree and so forth, but he was saying when he was involved in the Clinton debacle and the Vince Foster, and it was Kavanaugh who was very much involved in suppressing the picture that actually showed Foster with a wound on his neck. You know,
it would
disprove the theory that he committed suicide, but the picture, you know, was never, you know, just voila, magic. But the point, and Trump had several other people that he was considering, and then all of a sudden, you know, Kavanaugh comes out of his name comes out, and he's the nominee for the Supreme Court. So, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. He gets, it's such a debacle. And yes, I don't believe the women. And regardless of what I think or what I think he supports, his life is pretty much ruined. Whether he becomes a Supreme Court justice
or not.
His life is,
You
know. Anyway.
Music's playing again.
Yeah, I hear the music. We'll be right back right after these few short messages.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website, dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And prior to the break, we were talking about Kavanaugh and what would happen after the vote on Saturday. And what I told Pastor Butch during the break was, come Monday, they're going to bring Rosenstein. They'll probably fire Rosenstein or something on Monday, and no one will ever remember this Kavanaugh debacle after that. So that's what I... There'll be another distraction, whatever it might be, but Kavanaugh, once he gets confirmed and voted in and so forth, it's, you know... When he's sworn in, you might have a little more. When he's sworn in, you might have a little more, you know. But I think after they vote Saturday, which they're going to, it's going to be, you know, the Democrats will be focusing on the election.
And there'll be a crying fit over that. By the way, I just reading today, there's a record number of people signed up to vote this term. This midterm election, 800,000 broke a record from 2016 and signed up. And according to the article, they're all leaning towards Trump and his direction. Even and the average age is 28, and most of them hadn't voted before in their whole lives. So I don't know. I mean,
they're alive.
At least they're alive. And but could this Ford thing throwing votes towards Trump, perhaps, and the Republicans? I don't know. But maybe it backfired in Democrats' face. Or did they intend for it to be that way? These are questions I can't answer. I don't know. I mean, it doesn't make sense that they would bring forth witnesses that had no credibility, and they didn't. I mean, Ford didn't even know what day it was, how she was upstairs, downstairs, how she got home or nothing. She drank one beer the whole night long. She don't remember anything. So, I wonder... It is unbelievable. So it makes me wonder if that... I can't imagine Pelosi bringing forth a ringer, but as far as wanting to push things in a different direction, I can't imagine. So I'm going to assume that they really want to stop this Kavanaugh nomination and it backfired on them. 800,000 broke the record of new people signed up to vote. So that's a chunk of people, Melody, and the average age 28, and they're all leaning towards, we'll say, the red. Well, they call it the red wall is going to be standing against the blue tide or something. So we'll see.
Well, I never thought that the Democrats had a chance anyway. You know, I mean, I can't remember what it was prior to Kavanaugh. It's just like, no, it's just going to backfire on them. It's just going to fire up the Republicans to get out there and to vote, because the Democrats just show their true colors. I mean, they are hateful, spiteful, evil people. They're nasty. I'm not talking about them, you know. I'm talking about the ones that they're showing on the television. I'm sure there's nice Democrats out there that live in America. You know, I don't agree with their philosophy. I don't agree with their political agenda and so forth. But that we see, the politicians, they're evil. You know, the Hollywood
really
people, they're evil.
And when you see the the so-called left coming out, you know, against people like us, we'll say are pro-life and against the murdering children. There's a video out now of a young lady on a line in front of a murder clinic trying to save babies, and a young guy come up and talk to her, ended up kicking her. That's on video. You can check it out for yourself. He couldn't argue with the truth, so he just kicked her. That is violence that's coming out of the people. You know, you heard many times they can't go against truth, so they stone the one that brings the message. You can't fight truth. All you can do is fight the one that brought it. And that's what's happened there. This guy actually kicked this young lady on the stand for trying to save babies. Now that's a mindset of a lot of people today, especially on the side that are against, we'll say, moral values. They know you're right, and they hate you for it, and they will attack you for it.
Well, there's just been, but anyway. Anyway, I don't have anything else.
Back, yeah. Nothing on that. I mean, just common sense. So, somebody told me one time, this is bragging on my Savior, not me. He said, Pastor, you bring common sense to the Bible and to what's happening. You actually explain it in a simple way. I'm a simple guy, Melody. Common sense is common sense. Whenever you see the other side so angry they can't stand against truth, they start beating on you, especially a man on a woman. That's a pretty sad scenario for the other side. It truly is.
But, and what's really sad is their anger is being fueled. It is being fanned.
Oh, yes.
It is being,
yes,
you know,
it is.
Yeah.
By politicians, by senators,
by politicians.
And congressmen.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm sure you saw that that Sears and Kmart, Sears shutting down more stores, and Kmart stores shutting down too across the country. And again, that's such a big deal. Somebody grew up in the 50s when Sears was a common household word. Do you remember Sears robot catalogs?
Absolutely.
Yeah. We used to get JCPenney catalogs. You got all these big catalogs in the mail. And I remember Dad ordering one time a pistol out there through the way back when we still do that before we all become criminals. You know, ordered a pistol through a catalog. I remember that, didn't I? He gave it to my brother and he passed away. But, so these are things that were at one time, the brick and mortar of the economy in this nation was through catalog or sales, you know, EOD sales, or writing a check, mailed in, whatever. That's all in the past now, and it's starting to take effect. They're actually shutting down stores. So, it'd be as it may, it just seems odd that around my lifetime and longer.
You know, there was the mattress firm, Inc., is the largest U.S. Mattress retailer in the United States, is preparing to file for bankruptcy protection as soon as this week. And it's looking to exit, you know, a lot of their store leases and shore up its business. And so, yeah, they're preparing to file for bankruptcy, the United States' largest mattress retailer. So.
That is really sad. I really, truly is.
Huh?
I do want to read this article if you don't mind.
Poor management also.
It is poor management. Of course it is. It gets top heavy. But people that retire from these companies, like Sears, depend on the funds for Sears to pay their retirement. What's going to happen there? If Sears goes out of business, who's going to take up the slack for him?
Well, they're hoping that the taxpayer does.
People think that far ahead or not. You know, I mean,
they don't.
Do what now?
They don't think that far ahead.
So that's going to put people that depend on the check, we'll say it more in the poverty level. By the way, if you hear me kind of go mute a second, I mean I'm coughing, so excuse me. But this next article I thought was very telling. Forbes 400 2018, a new number one and a record-breaking year for America's richest people. Now, Melody, this is so far above my head. I can't comprehend this kind of money. Members of the Forbes 400 class 2018, In Outburgers, Lindsay Snyder, SHI International's Ty Lee, Amazon.com founder and CEO Jeff Bezos, and Jack Dorsey, CEO of both Twitter and Square, Forbes and Square. Buoyed in part by a strong stock market, the 400 wealthiest Americans have delivered yet another record-breaking year. The minimum net worth, now listen to this, Ben, I want to see if you qualify. The minimum net worth needed to join this elite club climbed to $2.1 billion. Over 100 million from this time last year. Did you qualify this year, or are you just a little bit short?
I was short. So Sorry, folks.
Yeah, me
if I was
too.
Short.
By about a billion or so. But anyway, the group total net worth rose to $2.9 trillion. The average net worth of a list member is $7.2 billion, up from $6.7 billion. That average is boosted by those at the very top of that list. Half of the total wealth is held. And this is we knew this, but to hear it in writing, half of the total wealth is held by the 45 richest people in the country. Whew. That's quite a percentage in the other direction, isn't it? I mean, what does that leave? I mean, 45 people own half of the wealth in this country.
In the country or the world?
That's huge. Yeah. For the first time since 1994, there's a new number one, Amazon.com founder and CEO Jeff Bezos, who broke Bill Gates' 24-year run at the top. Bezos is also the first person to appear in the ranks with a fortune of more than $100 billion. He clocked in at $160 billion. Bezos was also the biggest gainer on this year's list. His fortune rose $78.5 billion since last year, thanks to the more than 100% run-up in the price of Amazon stock, the biggest one-year gain since we've been tracking fortunes. Gates, now ranked number two, trails Bezos by a notable $63 billion. The top 10 richest on the list are together worth $730 billion, up from $610 billion. Now, these numbers are so far above me that I can't comprehend it. I really can't. But, I mean, Bezos beat up Bill Gates by $63 billion.
You know,
how do we comprehend, you and I? How do you handle that? I mean, how do you bring it down to our level?
You know, I had an interesting thought the other day, and it just popped into my head. And because I was reading about these numbers and billionaires and so forth, and I thought, you know, in the future, because I was reading about how these corporations like the Bezos and the Zuckerbergs and Microsoft and Apple, how they want to, you know, get into the healthcare business and they want to do this and they want to do that. And I'm thinking, you know, in the future, maybe 100 years from now, maybe 50 years, maybe 75 years, I don't know, in the future. But will there really be governments like we have today? Or because of the wealth of these people, will the world actually be led, for a lack of a proper term, because it just popped up, will they be the ones controlling even the governments? Will they be providing the needs and the wants of the people? Will they control it? Because where does it go? I mean, how much money are these people going to make? And so their influence, not just over a country, but a world. So I can't imagine what the world will actually be like in 100 years. But, you know, government, I don't believe, will be anywhere similar to what we have today.
Well, I'm sure you read about Meyer and Amschel Rothschild. I'm sure you read about him before. He made this statement. Give me the control of a nation's money supply, then I will not care who makes its laws. Yeah,
but eventually,
I think you're right.
Yeah, because eventually they're going to be making their laws, and the only reason they haven't done it before is because they didn't have the communications, they didn't have the technology, they didn't have the degree of the percentage of ownership that they have of the wealth, and they don't have debt. Ladies and gentlemen.
No, they don't.
You know?
No, they don't.
So
no,
it's going to be real interesting.
Yeah,
I mean, we're not going to be around, and so tell your grandchildren. But I don't know. That might be a bizarre idea that I had that popped into my head. But governments, I think governments are on their last leg. And it's going to be a
well, yeah, that's filling scripture also, that, you know, that they. Yeah, love of money is the root of all evil. And that's filling scripture that, you know, all the nation will become under, we'll say, one leader. That's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of time. It's going to happen. And you probably saw it too, where, you know, you probably read where $15 an hour check.
Yeah.
Well, also found out that they lost money because of that. And on Amazon, the people.
Yep.
The people lost money because they lost their bonuses and their stock options. When they give them the money, they took away their bonuses. Now, so they end up losing money. I wonder when we're going to learn that businesses don't give away profits.
I said that the other day when we first reported on this, that he was increasing the minimum wage to $15. I says, well, it'll just be a day or two until we find out who's losing. Because they're not. There is no such thing as trickle-down, ladies and gentlemen.
There is not. They're going to cut their bottom line. Governments don't give tax breaks. Now they say, oh, they cut taxes. But they make it up somewhere else. They'll increase something else. They can't give away money. They can't do it. So these people actually lost in the long run with bonuses and stock options.
Yeah, and they're very unhappy about
TV.
It.
Yes, they are. But who's going to hear that on the news?
No one. So
no
it
one.
All sounds great.
That's
he
exactly
gets
right.
praises. Yeah, he gets praises from Bernie Sanders. He gets praises from President Trump. Oh, he's raising the minimum wage to $15. And yet, people are losing. So it's just so much of the same. It doesn't change. And,
And what does the silver dollar go for now? Just a 9% silver dollar. What are they going for now, roughly each?
What, the new ones or the old ones or?
The
50-cent pieces?
Just roughly.
The 50-cent pieces
silver
you're
dollars.
Talking about. Silver dollars? Oh, you
no,
can get
I'm talking about the silver dollar.
The new one? The silver eagle?
No, the older ones. No, yeah, the old. The,
would you be more clear, Butch?
I'm doing my best, woman.
The Morgans or the piece, I mean, it depends on which one, but you can pick up some circulated piece dollars for 19 on up.
Okay.
$19.
Now, listen, just think about this a minute. In 1960s, the minimum wage was $1 an hour. Now we'll say it's 15 in some areas. $1 an hour, $1 in 1960, about $19 worth of supplies. Today, we got a $15 minimum wage. It buys less than it did in 1960. So we haven't gained by passing out paper. We've lost ground over all the last 50 years, 60 years, we've lost ground, Melody. When you were paid $1 an hour in real money, you made this.
You did. I don't know.
Does
we
nobody,
keep losing.
Does nobody ever think about that? I mean, we didn't gain by passing out more paper. It looks like we're making more money. Of course, that increases our taxes. We pay more taxes. But it's called inflation. But when you have real money, silver dollars, just say it's worth $15. It's more than that. But say it's worth $15. So $1 an hour was equal to $15 an hour in paper today in 1960. Now, if people would just stop and think and look at this and understand that we're going the wrong direction. Any comments?
No, I don't. Because you just said it all. You said it very clearly. And other than, that's what people need to get out of that paper fiat currency and get some real money. And because we do face, you hear the term being tossed. We're heading into the break right now. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned.
I need to hear it just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again? Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight? Each and every heart is
food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival, 1-800-375-4188 to support the program. Giving Discount Gold and Silver a call. And we're having a little bit of technical problems today, so we'll get through the next 20 minutes here. But we were talking about money and silver, and Butch, did you have anything else to touch on?
Well, I got a lot more talk about him. Sorry about the delay in our communications here. I can talk faster, but wouldn't help with it.
No, and slow down would probably be better. Because sometimes when you do talk too fast, I do know that computers can sort of delay it a little bit. So.
Really? Okay, I'll do better at that if I can. I guess you saw that China has cut off all our crude oil imports. You saw that, right?
Uh-huh. Yes, I did.
Okay, you saw that. Okay.
Yeah, I did.
And I'm sure that's because of the trade war, obviously. Yes. And now Pence has come out and said China has replaced Russia as our number one foreign enemy.
Okay.
Okay, I thought you might maybe a delay there. You might want to say something. And now we're putting now the U.S. Navy proposes. I'm doing my best to be good to you, woman. Anyway, the U.S. Navy proposed a global show of military force. We're going to put more ships in the South China Sea. We're going to put on a show of force with other nations there against China. Right on, we'll say right on their border, in Taiwan and other places. Now, I don't know what this is going to escalate to, if anything at all. But every time there's a little move on China's side, we retaliate with something from our side. Now that China is no longer buying our crude, and Pence is saying that they're our number one enemy now, and we're going to put more ships in the South China Sea. What do you see in that, Melody?
Well, of course, anything can happen. And tomorrow I have a segment with two segments with James Corbett of the Corbett Report, and we did touch on this, and he really brought some great insight into this area and what's happening and so forth and what we could see and how it might develop. So I encourage the listeners to make sure you tune in tomorrow and hear my talk with James Corbett, because we go into that. We talk about, you know, the possibilities of war and so forth, and is it a tit for tat with the tariffs, and where is this heading? And you know, hey, if someone sneezes that no one is expecting, it could result in something much, much, much worse. But you see the relation, as far as reading the, you know, from the reports that we get, you see the relationship between the United States and China deteriorating. But then again, you know, you just don't know anymore. You can't believe anything that you get out of D.C. I don't care where it comes from. And so we just have to be careful. And a lot of it is just wait and see. It's just like the cabin, the Supreme Court. You know, it's going to be out of the news in a week or less. Something else is going to replace it. They continue to throw distractions at us.
They do. They have to keep their mind occupied off the real problems. They have to keep it. It is by design. And they've done it. But Bill, these sad part is they've done it now for at least 50, 60 years, and no one's caught on to it.
Except us. I know.
Yeah, really. So think about that. I mean, common sense and what we're seeing. I mean, they're not looking behind the scenes, what's really going on behind the scenes. And China and U.S. relations, whether this is real or fake, I have no idea. But I would think that even the markets would respond to the fact that we're putting on war games in the South China Sea. Well, I think the markets would respond to that somehow or another. This is edging closer to a conflict here. We don't want to mess with China, I don't think. But, you know, that's just my opinion. But I would think that would result, that would show some results in the world economy, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, absolutely. What's more important is about their selling of their bonds, the dumping the treasuries. They're not buying. And we also talk about that with James Corbett tomorrow. So, again, ladies and gentlemen, it was really a great program that we recorded. So make sure you tune in tomorrow. But, yeah, you're absolutely right for bringing this up. It is important. And it just goes to show how unstable the world really is. Just because we don't see the stock markets crashing, just because we don't see gold skyrocketing, doesn't mean that the problems aren't there. It's just means that everything is just lagging in response, mainly a lot because of manipulation on the physical side of the metals, and then on the paper side, you have the algorithms that control a lot of that. They've taken a lot of the emotion out of the trade, but eventually everything... Money's still money. Trades are still trade, and you're going to see these markets collapse. And is it going to happen tomorrow? I don't know. Is it going to happen next week? I don't know. You hear the term reset being thrown around. Everything is reset, reset, reset. Well, ladies and gentlemen, ever since they created the fiat dollar, there was going to be a reset. There's going to be a purging of the systems, a devaluation, whatever you want to call it. And we're a day closer, and it's taken this long. They've been very creative, and they became very wealthy, very powerful. And so it's only going to go one way. And as we're sidetracked and distracted and divided, I've never seen this country so divided before. And for so long.
No.
And for so long. Usually you can have a situation, you're divided, you got your side, you pick your side, blah, blah, blah. You know, a month it's gone and, you know, we're all back together again and doing what needs to be done. And, you know, and it's just not like that anymore. I saw an article today. This
About... Go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Go ahead. It's all right. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to change topics. That's why I didn't know the one.
Well, go ahead and change topic. That's fine. You go ahead and change topic. That's all right.
You know, we talk about how the United States is now, what, the largest producer or the seller or exporter of oil, of natural gas?
Yes.
Isn't that what we've been talking about? And you'd think,
yes.
Well, the more we export, the lower our prices should become, wouldn't you think?
Yes.
Natural gas prices have been surging. Natural gas. 12% this year. We have low stockpiles. Yes, there's been a higher than usual power demand during a warm autumn, which kind of thinks, well, what's the difference if it's a warm autumn or a cold autumn? You're still going to be using, you know, for heat and air, so I don't know why that would be. But we do have the nuclear power plant outages that Barclays is saying that is driving the rally. And they're expecting a very volatile winter for natural gas prices. 12% is a lot over the last month. And they're talking about if we have an unusual volatile winter, it could get as high as $3.65. And I mean,
who can afford to heat with that? Who can afford to heat with that?
I mean,
really think about that.
And it's supposed to be cheaper.
Yeah, really. Yes. That's exactly why he was wood and coal. Coal was still $80 a ton, to me all winter, but wood's for free. It cut off my own land. That's why he was wood and coal. I have propane backup. But I use wood and coal because I simply can't afford $3.50 for a gallon of gas.
Yeah. It's amazing. I had no idea that it was growing, it was getting that high, especially when we're supposed to be such a great, you know. Now, there's three new U.S. liquefied natural gas export facilities that are scheduled to open through the first quarter of 2019. Gas-consuming industrial projects are coming online, and new connections are slated to deliver U.S. supplies to Mexican power plants. I thought, well, that's just so interesting. I'm not sure what the connection is, but, you know, we've probably been supplying Mexican power plants for eons and so forth. But, you know, when you hear all this about the, you know, the NAFTA, the changes and, you know, all the, it just kind of makes you wonder, you know, what's really going on. But I just thought it was interesting.
It really does. And it makes you wonder why we're exporting, like you said, when we should be using it here. Our people are struggling here. And literally, I know people who cannot afford this type of heat. I guess if I really had to get down to it, I could afford some of it. But my goodness, I would just about take my count out every month in the wintertime. So I don't know. Why don't we help ourselves first? America first. I'm all about that. I mean,
yes.
I feed my family, then I'll help your family. I mean, what's wrong with that idea?
Nothing at all.
So, you know, it makes you wonder where our heads are. It really does. I mean, China's quit buying the crude oil from us. Okay, they quit buying from us. Where are we shipping it now? Why don't we use it here? How's that for a novel idea? Why don't we use it ourselves and produce it here and make money off it right here in our own home? Would that be a good idea?
You think it would be? Sounds like a plan to me.
I think you and I should run president.
I think. You can be president, and I'll be vice president.
All right, that'd be great. We get this thing figured out and get it fixed.
All right.
But you know, we got one article here I want to share with you before we go off the air, because I think it's kind of telling of America today, and it's kind of sad. 1 in 3 passed U.S. citizen test, just 19% of for Americans 45 and younger. So 45 and younger, it wasn't all that hard. The actual test only requires 60% of them to be correct. In the survey, just 36% passed, Beldy. Here are some of the questions. 72% of the respondents either incorrectly identified or were unsure of which states were part of the 13 original states. They couldn't even name some of the states, at least part of them, the original states. 24% could correctly identify one, could not, I'm sorry, 24% could correctly identify one thing Benjamin Franklin was famous for, with 37% believing he invented the light bulb. Now let that sink in. 12% thought that General Dwight Eisenhower led his troops during the Civil War. And 2% said the Cold War was caused by climate change. Well, anyway, this is so important. That 72% of the people in this country, 45 and younger, cannot name which states are part of the 13 original colonies. 24% thought Ben Franklin invented the light bulb. 12% thought Dwight Eisenhower. Yeah, I'm serious. 12% thought Dwight Eisenhower fought and led his troops in the Civil War. Now, listen to this last one. 2% of the people in this country, 45 and younger, so the Cold War was called by global climate change. And we wonder why we're losing our country? It is funny. It's sad, but it's funny.
It's sad. It really is sad.
And we're losing our country because people are so dumb. I mean, the Cold War was called by climate change? My gosh. Anyway.
You know, it's funny.
Get me started preaching.
when I traveled a little bit over to Europe, it always surprised me how much foreigners, the Europeans, know so much of our history. The United States, America, our history. It's just surprising. They know more about our history than the citizens of this country do. And I was impressed by that. But anyway,
well, you know, that's a sad commentary, though, for Americans, is it not?
It is a very sad commentary.
I mean, again, you know, if they don't even know what the Cold War was, or who, or about Eisenhower, or even can't even name some of the 13 original colonies, how are they going to understand gold and silver and real money? How are they going to understand the economy? And if they don't even know how to figure out a little bit about history, how are they going to understand that we've been robbed, literally robbed, unconstitutionally, unbiblically, and sinfully robbed of our wealth, and more so every day? How are they going to comprehend that?
They can't, because they don't understand what wealth is. To them, wealth is being able to use your credit card and go and buy a new TV or cell phone. They're wealthy.
Yes.
That's like.
Yes.
But you know, it's all part of conditioning. It's all part of, everybody knows the terms, you know, sheeple and everything else, and it is a sad state of affairs. We don't hear any talk coming out of Washington about fixing our educational system, do we?
No, we don't. No, we don't.
So they're going to... Yeah, and that's a problem. How can these kids know these things if we don't fix our educational system?
They're not going to, but you've heard of Charlotte Isherby in the book The Deliberate Dumbing Down America. It's worked.
Yes.
Yep. And by the way, I'll see you on my show tonight at 9 o'clock, won't I?
9 o'clock. I'll be there.
All right, look forward to it.
All righty, until then, ladies and gentlemen, well, I'll be on his show this evening, and I'll be back tomorrow for the first 20 minutes of the program. It has been a rough hour, I'll tell you. Anyway, good night. God bless. Have a great evening.